This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by one of the leading experts in physician burnout in the world, Dr. Fred Dennis. We're going to talk to Dr. Dennis about burnout, a couple key issues in burnout, and more. Fred, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Scott. I'm an emergency physician by training, did my residency at McGill, and after a particularly bad winter in Montreal, I relocated to sunny Southern California and fell in love with the weather. I've practiced here for clinically over two decades, including 10 years at Cedars-Sinai. And since my MBA in healthcare, I've managed local and national medical provider groups, but I've generally started to transition from provider to payer side. I've worked for three health plans, a large Medicaid plan, one of the Blues, and recently ran a 46,000 member ERISA plan in 14 states. Currently, I'm medical director of a 500 physician IPA in Torrance, California. But one thing that's been consistent since I nearly burned out while I was working at Cedars, I've had a huge interest in preventing burnout. I've coached, I've lectured, even helped start up a company to deal with this. It's near and dear to my heart.
And Dr. Dennis, let me ask you a question. COVID-19 has in some ways buoyed and lifted the sails of physicians in terms of viewed as having a true purpose, mission-driven, the world again admiring physicians as opposed to such as the negativity. Will COVID have any long-lasting impact on reducing or increasing burnout? Will it increase burnout because of exhaustion? Will it reduce burnout because people seem to be filled with purpose again a little bit more? Any thoughts along those lines?
Well, so Scott, let me just ask a couple of brief questions of your listeners and maybe of you. Do you feel more or less stressed since Christmas? And secondly, do you feel that your ability to cope since Christmas has increased or decreased? So when I've talked to healthcare workers across the board, all levels, physicians, nurses, office-based, hospital-based, administrators, CEOs, the answer uniformly I get to both of those questions is first, we feel more stressed. And secondly, we feel our ability to cope is less. And the answer when I ask them, well, what do you think the long-term repercussions are? It's only going to get worse because there's multiple things going on right now that are not just in our work environment, but our personal environment, having to do with decreased ability to connect with our spouses and significant people in our lives. And those things are contributing to burnout, no question.
And so at the end of the day, right, and you set up the questions well, because any of us would answer that those questions, as you said, more stressed, less ability to cope. So you're an expert in trying to help people work with burnout. What are some of the answers to it? How do people start to address it? Any thoughts? You know, what advice do you have?
Sure. So let's start with what I call my personal definition of burnout, although I think it kind of resonates with a lot of people. It's when your ability to tolerate increasing stress overwhelms your ability to cope. So we have two factors here. We have external stresses, and we have coping ability. So the answer to burnout is you have to deal with both of those in turn. You have to reduce the external stressors, and you have to build up your internal resistance. So how do we reduce external stressors? It's pretty standard problem solving once you've got your arms around it. You know, you identify the stressors, and systematically you start with the low-hanging fruit. So a huge example, if you survey anyone in healthcare, they'll tell you that the EMR is a stressor. I get it. You know, we need a document to get paid, and we need a document to reduce malpractice. But the problem is that these EMRs have now begun to dominate healthcare, such that most providers are spending more time on documentation and the EMR than they are actually in front of the patients. And I'll discuss why I think that's really important in a moment. But why don't we have simple solutions that are used in other industries like single sign-on? you talk to a provider and they say, well, we have 9 different systems going on in the hospital, and I have to log on to each one with a different password that changes every 30 to 90 days, and I can't remember them all, and it boots me off after 5 minutes. You know, yet my badge works perfectly at every entrance to the hospital. Why can't I log on to the computer that way? Or scribes. This is getting back to where I think that providers are definitely hugely stressed. We went into healthcare to try to help people, and we enjoy that connection. But when we're sitting in front of the computer and not in front of the patient, that removes us one layer. Scribes can really help to turn that around, where you're talking to the patient rather than talking or then entering data entry into the computer. And the other thing is, scribes get you home on time. Most studies have shown that the average provider who's in an office-based practice is spending a minimum of 1 to 2 hours after their last patient documenting. So that means either they miss dinner, or else they come home and they have dinner with their kids, put them to bed, and then they stay up for 2 hours doing documentation. So building the resistance side, I mean, I can go on, but let me try to boil it down into 2 key areas. First of all is the logical one, taking care of yourself. This really works. You know, the stuff we know that we should be doing, but we cheat ourselves sometimes, like getting regular exercise and getting enough sleep. These things will not only help to build up our resistance to burnout, but they'll also build up our resistance to getting COVID, or if we get COVID, to having a milder case too. And so often what I find is that dedicated people, like those of us in healthcare, and I include you folks too, who are definitely making a difference, we cheat ourselves often. When we run out of time, we don't spend enough time renewing ourselves. And this is not just a marathon. It's a series of sprints inside a marathon in our lives. And so you need to recharge those batteries, and you need to have personal time. And the second and perhaps the most important thing that you need to do to renew is what I've kind of talked a little bit about, which is getting back in touch with why you went into healthcare in the first place. Everyone I've talked to has the same sort of feeling that they went into healthcare because they wanted to make a difference. They wanted to try to help people. And I think we've got to keep on fighting to try to restore that connection and try to get engaged. When I was at Cedars, the biggest single thing that turned me around from down that path to burnout was connecting with patients. And I'll just take a brief minute here. When you come into the emergency, the first thing on the sheet is, what's your chief complaint? Well, people have a chief complaint. Maybe it's the pain in my side, but they also have an agenda and they have a worry. And what I was focusing in on was the chief complaint. Oh, okay. You know, you don't have an infection, et cetera. Instead, I needed to get at the root of why they were there. And what is it they were worried about? Was it a heart attack? Was it cancer? Was it a stroke? And when I did that, I found that all of a sudden I made a connection with people. And that was what renewed me. And that's what kept me going for, you know, 10, 15 years after that.
How important is that issue in any profession you're in, any job you're in, of that direct connection with what you're doing and what you're really trying to accomplish versus being far removed to it, to keeping fulfilled and keeping purpose? Talk about that for one more moment.
Well, let me just back up for a second, though, and say those of you that employ people, you know, that connection, what I call intrinsic motivation, you know, wanting to do your job and liking to do your job, is what causes you to give 100%. If you're only using external motivators like salary and shifts and bonuses and time off and such, you could maybe get 70-80% maximum productivity. And the reason why we're so motivated when in these situations is that we believe in what we're doing. And if you can connect with what you're doing with making a difference in people's lives, I think that's hardwired into us. I mean, I think altruism exists not just in us, but in every animal species. I think it's something that's innate. We want to try to help our fellow people.
I tend to not to make light of it. I see the altruism more in my dogs than I see in cats, but that's a different personal perspective on that. Now, Dr. Dennis, in all seriousness, what you do is remarkable, and it's such an important issue. And there's, you know, with this growing shortage of providers, if we can't keep our providers happy and satisfied and working and at it, we're really in trouble. We're already in trouble as it is. So I appreciate what you do so much. Dr. Dennis, Fred, how do people learn more about you and what you do?
Well, Scott, they can contact me on LinkedIn. I'm listed there under my name. They can also send me an email. It's fdennis@endhealthcareburnout. So it's all one word, .com. So fdennis at endhealthcareburnout. And I love to talk to people about this. I mean, to me, it's a passion, and it represents another direction of my career, which was, first of all, helping people on an individual level, and now trying to help the people who are helping the patients. Kind of a magnifier effect, I see.
Take 30 seconds on exactly that issue. How important is it for physicians to ultimately, over time, find different aspects of their career that light their fire and keep them interested? Take one moment on that issue as we wrap up.
Well, absolutely essential. I think that, unfortunately, physicians get a little bit one-dimensional around their particular area of expertise. And I think that having these other types of interests help keep you rejuvenated, and you can shift back and forth. I've had multiple careers, and when one of them seems to fall off, I just move into the other direction, and it's kept me going for all these years. I can't talk about it too highly. The other thing is that if you're just an emergency doc, and I know that some people think that, you know, emergency docs are special. I do. However, you're a commodity. And if you don't have something else going on, something special, then you're going to be treated as a commodity. But if you have a special interest, like helping with a liaison with the nurses and doing teaching to the medical students, you become something different and something better.
Well, Dr. Dennis, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time today to visit with us. It's remarkable what you're doing and what you've done. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
Well, thank you very much, Scott, and thank you for what you do, too. I truly enjoy all the information that you create.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Dennis. What a pleasure.